invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. Chapter 19. Particularly on Sunday nights, we've been studying from the life of Elijah and what lessons we can learn from him. I wanted to take this opportunity on this last day of, or last Sunday of 2009 to wrap up a study on his life, but I think there's some lessons near the end of his life that I think we'll find appropriate as we conclude this year. We'll look at 1 Kings 19, but even more in 2 Kings chapter 2. In fact, please turn over there with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. In this chapter, we find one of the most dramatic, if not the most dramatic, conclusions to anyone's life. In the history of the world, only two people have gone directly to heaven without dying. Elijah is one, as we'll see here in 2 Kings 2. The other is Enoch, Genesis 5. He walked with God and he was not, for God took him, it says of Enoch. But Elijah lived an extraordinary life. And it seems fitting that at the conclusion of his earthly existence that he'd have an extraordinary conclusion. And that he does. And I want us to observe that extraordinary conclusion. But even more, I want us to see one day, his last day on earth, and see what he did. Because I think we'll see as we study 2 Kings 2, he knew this was his last day. What is it that he did? But as we apply it, if you knew without a doubt that tomorrow would be your last day on earth, what would you do? What would change about your life? What would you focus on? If you knew tomorrow was your last day. I'm not trying to be morbid, but I am trying on this last Sunday in 2009 to help us reflect on those things that are most important so that we'll be determined to give priority to those things that are most important in our lives. After all, you remember George Sweeting's words, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. So let's look at Elijah's last day and see what he did and learn from it. And apparently he knew that he was about to be taken from the earth. Look with me to verse 1 of 2 Kings 2. It came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And as we begin observing this his last day on earth, we learn some things about how to spend our last day. Number one, spend your last day doing God's will. That's what we find Elijah doing on his last day, is doing the will of God. We saw here in verse 1 that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Verse 2 tells us his destination. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." And so they went down to Bethel. Notice Elijah's words, "The Lord has sent me on to Bethel." We'll come back to that in a moment. But notice Elijah's words and his mindset, "The Lord has sent me to this place." You see, he was busy doing the will of God. When we first meet Elijah, 1 Kings 17, verse 1, we find him as one standing before the Lord, as he put it. And that meant that he was standing before the Lord, ready to do his will, whatever that will was. And we even find him, as we first read about him, standing before the wicked king Ahab and telling him it wasn't going to rain for 3.5 years, or it wasn't going to rain until God sent it once again. But now at the conclusion of his earthly existence, we find that same attitude still prevalent in his life. He's determined to do the will of God. "The Lord has sent me to Bethel." And so they went down to Bethel. And as you read on, you'll see that Elijah he repeats these same words to Elisha. "Well, the Lord has sent me to Jericho." please don't go with me. But Elisha insists, and so they go down to Jericho. God tells Elijah to go across the Jordan River. And again, he says to Elisha, don't go with me. But Elisha insists, I will not leave you. But each time God tells him to go to this next location, Elijah's obedient. He spent his last day doing the will of God. And folks, I can't think of a better way to spend our last day than doing the will of God, being obedient to Him. Having that mindset as well, that attitude, God, whatever you want me to do, as you've revealed through your word, I want to do it. I want to be obedient. You see, like Enoch, Elijah, you could summarize his life and particularly his last day by saying Elijah walked with God. He was obedient to Him. He was ready and willing to obey the Lord, whatever His instructions were. But notice, secondly, we learn from Elijah, we need to spend our last day with godly friends. With godly friends. There were times in Elijah's life when he stood alone. You remember we studied in 1 Kings chapter 18 how he's standing alone facing 450 prophets of Baal. But yet he courageously confronts them and even mocks them for their believing in a false god. And he stands alone as he prays to God for him to send fire to consume the sacrifice, which God did. But then the very next chapter, we read how Elijah felt alone. He would even say words like this, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And he would give this response more than once to God when God would ask him, Elijah, where are you? He had fled many, many miles out of fear of Jezebel. But God reminded him that there were yet 7,000 who had not bowed their knee to Baal. That though he felt alone, he was not alone. But even more than just that reminder that there were 7,000 that still had not bowed to Baal, God saw fit that He appointed Elisha to accompany Elijah for a period of time. He assigned to Elijah a helper named Elisha. In fact, in that 1 Kings 19, God gave these instructions. You shall anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah. You shall anoint as prophet in your place. He gave him something to do. And one of those things he wanted Elijah to do was to prepare, help prepare the prophet that would take his place. Things would still be in turmoil in Israel, and God needed someone to continue to reveal and proclaim His will. And Elisha would be that next prophet. But Elisha would have that opportunity to spend time with Elijah and learn from him firsthand. But it wasn't just for Elisha, but it was for Elijah to be reminded that he wasn't alone. And so on this, the last day of his earthly existence, he spent time with this man, Elisha. As we read here in the first few verses of 2 Kings 2, it would appear that Elijah is trying to get rid of Elisha. You know, the Lord has sent me to Bethel, to Jericho, and so forth, but you stay here. And that verse 2, stay please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But you see Elisha's response each time, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. It seems to me Elisha is reminding Elijah, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you alone. Why did Elijah try to get Elisha to stay? Some have suggested, well, maybe Elijah hated farewells. Maybe so. Some have said that Elijah wanted to spare Elisha the long, tedious trip, and he does travel several miles on this day. Or perhaps Elijah was testing Elisha, testing his commitment. helping prepare him for that ministry as a prophet of God. But you see, you and I need people close to us to encourage us to do what's right. Elijah no doubt found strength in his last day on earth in that relationship that he had with Elisha. Just like you and I, if we knew it to be our last day, we want to surround ourselves with our loved ones. We want to surround ourselves with those that have helped us to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. Those who have encouraged us, our family members, our loved ones, our friends, in whose presence it is easier to be good. How are we spending our time? Are we spending time with those that we love dearly? Are we seeking to be that godly influence that we all need? A third thing we learned from Elijah is to spend your last day in the service of God. And again, I want to remind you of these places where God instructed him to go. First of all, verse 2, they went down to Bethel. But notice what happens in Bethel, verse 3. The sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Verse 4, Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Why was it that God sent Elijah and Elisha who followed to these places? Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho. Well, if you studied much about Israelite history, some would suggest, well, these were prominent places in the history of Israel. Gilgal, if this was the Gilgal that in which the monuments were set up right after the people of Israel crossed over the Jordan River, that was a significant place. It was a place of new beginnings for the nation of Israel. Bethel literally means the house of God. It's where Abraham, Isaac, Jacob had significant events there, in which an altar was built, and they named that place the house of God. Jericho, the great place of victory for Joshua and the people of God, when God caused the walls of Jericho to fall flat. Was it that God was sending Elijah to these historical places that were so meaningful to the people of Israel? Maybe so. But I want to suggest a different possibility. And it goes back to what happened when they went to each of these places. The scripture says the sons of the prophets came out to greet them. And they would speak to Elisha and say, "Do you not know that your master is going to be taken away from you today?" He says, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Sons of the prophets does not mean that all these men had fathers who were prophets. When it says sons of the prophets, it means that they were prophets. They were prophets in training, if you will. And many believe that in these particular locations, there were schools for the prophets themselves. And that Elijah himself may have been one that was basically in charge of those schools. And that would make a lot of sense, would it not, for Elijah to visit these places where there were these different schools and where these prophets were studying and seeking to be God's people in Israel. And how in visiting these places, Elijah would be able to have some parting words for them. And don't you know, because they realized that Elijah was about to be taken from them, that they were eager to hear what he might have to say. But if that's the case, notice that Elijah's spending his last day in service to God. We're not told what he stated specifically to these prophets. But I'm sure they were words that would help these prophets continue to be faithful to the Lord. Years ago, there was a preacher in England who was asked what he would do if he knew his next day was his last day on earth. And this is what he said. I would get up at 6 a.m. I would read the Bible and pray for an hour. Then have breakfast. Then I would study in the morning, have a light lunch, visit in the afternoon, go to the hospitals, eat dinner, go to midweek service, come home, have a cup of tea, and go to bed. What was he saying? He would do what he always did. You see, his intentions were that he would live every day in service to God. That's the way Elijah lived his last day on earth, in service to God. And what a model for you and for me. But notice this point. Spend your last day securing your influence for good. If we knew that tomorrow was our last day, I'm sure many of us would want to make sure that any worthwhile projects that we had begun would be continued. And we'd be tying up loose ends so that these good works could continue to go on. I believe that's what we see here in Elijah's last day, visiting these schools of the prophets, turning his work over ultimately to Elisha. But he's making sure that these good works are going to continue. Notice with me in verses 6 and 7. Elijah said to him, that is Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Verse 7, 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. But notice verse 8. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Just as Moses, with the rod of God, held it over the waters of the Red Sea and they parted so that Israel could cross through on dry ground. Just as when the priest's feet touched the edge, the bank of the Jordan River, and it opened up so that the people could cross over on dry ground into the promised land. Even so, Elijah takes his mantle and causes the waters, by the power of God, to separate. And they walk through on dry ground. But notice verse 9. And so it was when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you?" Does he realize he's about to leave? Yes. Elisha, what can I do for you? Ask whatever you will. Elisha says, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." I want to speak more about this tonight. But you see what's on the mind of Elisha. He spent time with the prophet. He knows his courage. He knows his heart. And he says, "I want double of what you have." Elijah says in response, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be for you. But if not, it shall not be so." It would be a hard thing because only God could grant this request. But there was that condition: if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so. So here's Elijah, knowing he's about to depart. He's concerned about Elisha. "What is it that I can do for you?" And I'm sure he's thinking about Elisha and the mantle that he would take upon himself, the mantle of the prophet, and making sure that he had what he needed to carry on the work of God. "What can I do for you?" He's making sure, he's trying to secure the future for the work of God. He's focusing on that. As you examine Elijah's life, let me ask you a question. Did Elijah fail or succeed in his mission of life? Did he fail or did he succeed? Before you answer that, remember one of the primary purposes, his commission. One of his primary purposes was to eradicate Baalism from Israel, Did he accomplish this? No, not fully, is the answer. We'll see that Ahab's son Ahaziah still inquired of Baal-zebub. And Baal worship continued until we read when Jehu engineered the massacre of all those who worshiped the pagan deity. But still, we need to ask, did Elijah fail? And the answer is no, not at all. He was very successful. Let me point out at least three ways. He did the will of God to the best of his ability. He strived to live faithfully to the Lord, to be obedient to Him, even that last day. And what a model for you and for me to do the will of God to the best of our ability. God asks no more of any man. I like this statement that I read recently. God demands our best, not our better than. He demands the best from each of us. That's what Elijah sought to give God. And in that sense, he was successful. Number two, the worship of Baal was greatly restrained as a result of his efforts. As we've read about these sons of the prophets in these different localities that apparently reflect schools there, schools for the prophets, would this have become a reality had Elijah not been there by the power of God working through Elijah to establish these things? But thirdly, Elijah's success is seen that in that above all, he left behind those who he had helped to prepare to carry on his work after he was gone. His work would not end. Without an Elijah, there wouldn't have been no Elisha. Or would there have even been schools for the prophets? You see, he spent a lot of time on this last day of his earthly existence thinking about the future and doing what he could to influence the future for God. And that causes, or should cause, you and I to ask ourselves, what are we leaving behind? What are we leaving behind? Are we thinking about our families and how we need to underscore to them the importance of serving God, of being God's people? Are we doing what we can to leave those kind of lessons behind? One more thing from the life of Elijah, his last day. He spent his last day making sure he would go to heaven. That's a great way to spend our last day. Verse 11 begins, "It happened as they continued on and talked." Here are Elijah and Elisha walking along the way, talking with one another, visiting. It doesn't give us the subject of the conversation. But it's at that moment when they were just enjoying conversation together, probably talking about the future, and perhaps Elijah's giving him some last-minute reminders that it happens. Suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Verse 12. Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. He was sorrowful. But yet what an impact this must have had upon Elisha to see this extraordinary event. I want us to flash forward to an equally awesome sight and sounds. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." You see, the assurance is that if we're alive when Christ returns, we'll be changed and we'll be caught up to meet the Lord without ever dying. Even if we die first before the Lord returns, it'll still be exciting as we're raised in our new bodies and caught up as Elijah was caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But the key to this is being ready on our last day on the earth. If you knew without a doubt that tomorrow would be your last day on the earth, how would you spend that day? I want to share with you something I've shared with you before and will share with you again, because it's become a reminder to me of what my life needs to be about. James Dobson wrote these words: "When I reach the end of my days, a moment or two from now, I must look backward on something more meaningful than the pursuit of houses and land and stocks and bonds. I will consider my earthly existence to have been wasted unless I can recall a loving family, a consistent investment in the lives of people, and an earnest attempt to serve the God who made me. Nothing else makes much sense." How are you spending today? None of us are guaranteed a tomorrow. So the key is to live each day as if it were our last, and to focus on those things that are most important, like doing the will of God, like spending that precious time with godly friends and family, like being busy every day in the service of God, by securing our influence for good, and by making sure each day that we'll go to heaven. And we can be sure of that through a right relationship with God, through His Son Jesus. If we'll surrender our lives to Him in obedience to His will, if we'll obey the gospel, the promise is that when we're baptized into Christ as a penitent believer, our sins are washed away by His blood. We become children of God. We're saved from our past sins. And the promise is that if we'll continue to put Him first, to follow Him as a way of life, then the blood of Jesus will continue to cleanse us from our sins. And we can know that if Jesus comes today, I'll be ready and I'll go home with Him. Do you have that assurance? You can, if you'll submit your life to Christ. If you need to do so this morning, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?